Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Acts. We're in chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in about verse number 20. We've been looking here at something that's happening in Samaria. The Jews never did like the Samaritans. their culture was such that they certainly had a prejudice toward anyone who wasn't a Jew, a complete, total Jew, father, mother. If you were a proselyte and you became Jewish, you still didn't have the same rights in the temple as someone who was completely Jewish. And they looked down upon people who intermarried. And so you talk about prejudice. They had loads of prejudice back then. You couldn't have the same legal rights anywhere that you would if you were complete, totally father, mother were Jewish.
Yeah, you know, back in, I think it was 722 BC, the Assyrians came and took basically the northern Jews, you know, north of Jerusalem, the northern kingdom. And so Assyria carried them off. They left a few around there, and then they brought in other nations that they had conquered, and those other nations' people intermarried with the Jews that were there, and there became the Samaritans, and like you said, the Jewish people from, you know, down around the southern part of what's now Israel just looked at the Samaritans and said, yeah, you're not true Jewish.
No.
And so we, like you said, there was definite prejudice there.
Yeah. And when the Babylonian captivity took place, those who were actually released to come back to the Holy Land, they were pure Jews. They tried to make sure that they were pure and try to keep the purity. You know, in other nations, you see the same thing happening. You see sometimes in some of these nations where they come in, they take over, and they abuse the women, and they try to destroy the lineage of a particular culture, and they try to destroy them. America has been a melting pot. We have a lot of different nationalities that we allow to come in. Recently, however, with the problem with terrorism and not being able to vet certain countries, we do need to do something about our borders. And I hope that the Republicans and the Democrats get that underway, because we recognize that there are people who really, it's none of their fault.
Right.
They probably have great hearts, but we have to be sure that the people who come in don't have ulterior motives to come in and try to destroy.
It is such a difficult thing for any nation to receive new people in. And so you go around the world and you're going to be met with resistance if you try to cross into a border that you're not a resident of that country for. So there will be resistance. And America definitely has held her arms wide open
to every nation.
Exactly. And so there has to be some rule of law, and people have to abide by that. And yet, like you said, we do hope that they can come together and put together a law that is good, that is helpful, and that people obey. That's the problem.
I mean, I've traveled the world. I've had two passports completely filled up with different countries, and you can't get into the country unless you have a passport that proves who you really are.
Right.
And so you're vetted everywhere you go, and so there shouldn't be any difference here. And we're talking about here the Samaritans, and in Samaria, the apostles went when they heard the Samaritans accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter and John were preaching and healing, and they laid hands on people, and people received the Holy Spirit, and there was a sorcerer whose name was Simon that became a believer. He asked Jesus into his heart, but all of a sudden now, he sees the Holy Spirit being given to people, and more than likely, it's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost and several other places, where when the Holy Spirit fell, there was a visible manifestation that people saw. And in this case, most people think it was the speaking in other tongues. And so Simon says, I want that.
Yeah.
I want that, because he was a sorcerer. He liked that idea.
He had done sorcery type things. He had amazed all the people of Samaria. And so he had somehow done quote unquote magical tricks or something that people were amazed by. And here he was thinking about this in a natural sense, and he wants the ability to put hands on somebody and something happened, but not understanding it's a supernatural thing. And I don't think he had come to that realization that it was a supernatural God thing that was happening.
Yeah. So he says, give me this ability so everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So he's wanting this power. power. Now, I just watched a movie called Samson. I don't know if you've watched it, but the story basically is the Philistines, they capture Samson. Of course, Samson kills 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey.
Right.
And the son of the Philistine king wants the power that Samson has. And so he does everything he can. He forces Delilah to use her ability to try to get Samson to reveal where his power comes from. And he wants this power. He does everything he can to get that power. And this reminds me of the same kind of thing here. He wants this power. People want it. And so he says this, and when he says, I want this power, Peter says, may your money perish with you because your thought, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money.
You know, it's really interesting. Salvation is the free gift of God. God has done it all, and it's a free gift to us. And here he thinks that if he gives them financial remuneration, they can teach him how to do this. He's still looking at it as a trick, as a magical illusion that he can do. And you know, Peter is just like, you can't think like that. And he rebuked him harshly. He rebuked him harshly. You know?
It's probably, though, a thought that I think the world contains because they think they can buy anything. You can buy whatever you want.
Right.
You can buy happiness. You can buy love. You can buy everything with money. But obviously, there's some things that you just cannot buy.
And we've seen in the world recently with people that seemingly have everything taking their own lives.
That's pretty crazy when you think about it.
They've got the money. They've got the fame. But there's something lacking there. There's something missing there. And Peter rebukes him for this thought, to think that you can buy the things of God with money, with wealth, and you just can't do that.
No. And then he makes a point here in verse 21 of chapter number 8. He says, you have no part or share in this ministry.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, that's a pretty interesting thought. If you think that you can buy your way into the ministry, if you can bargain your way into the ministry, you cannot.
No.
It's a calling.
It is.
God calls you. He says, because your heart is not right before God. And that's one of the things that God does, is he takes a look at our hearts to see if we truly have the right motives. Because more than likely, we find ourselves having this nature that is fallen, and it really is destructive for humanity. And until you have the right motive, if your motives are selfish, then you're going to find that you will not be effective for the kingdom of God.
I think that's you nailed it. He was looking at this from a selfish motive. I want this ability so that I can lay hands on people, so that they can get something from me. So once again, it was about him. If you read starting in verse number 9 of Acts 8, it was all about him. You know, it's all about Simon.
True.
And then these other guys come in and they start doing this, and he becomes a follower. But here's a way, these guys aren't going to stay long. They'll go. And if I buy it, it becomes all about me again. And so he did have that heart issue. But guess what? I think all of us, after we come to Christ,
we have a depraved nature.
We have a depraved nature, and God continues to work on our heart. And sometimes we need to be confronted by guys like Peter to say, your heart's not right before God.
Yeah, I was doing a reading a book and doing some study on the early development of America when it first became a nation and defeated the British Empire. The problem is the states were very selfish. They all wanted to do their own thing. There was a selfish nature about it. And they almost didn't unite as the United States because of the selfishness. Each state wanted its own thing. But back then, there was still a very much of an understanding that they could never have beaten the British if God didn't intervene for them. God's divine providence helped them beat. It was God who really won the victory because of the weather, because of everything else that happened, all the plans. They recognized that God had done it. And there was an understanding of God, even within the early colonies. So it was that understanding that it was God's divinity that brought about the unity that they had, so their selfishness gave way to the will of God.
Wow.
So what the author was making a point is today in America, we're divided because we don't have this understanding of God. It's a very selfish culture, selfish nature. Every individual person wants something just for themselves. Every group, and they don't have an understanding of the will of God. They don't have that strong understanding right. that will of God is the only thing that can bring unity and freedom.
Yeah.
When you put God and country before yep. yourself.
Yeah, we never could have accomplished what we've accomplished if we were the independent states of America.
Never.
We never could have done it. There had to be unity.
Yeah.
And that unity was based, like you said, on them knowing that there was a presence of God that had moved them here.
Exactly.
They came here for religious freedom, but he also sustained them and kept them through very difficult and challenging times.
And it was such a powerful understanding of God that the very first universities which were developed, Harvard, Yale, they yep. were all to teach ministers of the gospel
yeah.
so
yeah.
they help develop a God consciousness in
right.
America.
Right.
Pretty amazing how
we've
changed.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
So here we find Simon's got this selfish interest,
yep.
and just like we find in today. And Peter rebukes him for this and says, you can't share in this ministry because your heart's not right before God.
Yeah.
So he says, here's what you have to do. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he'll forgive you.
Yeah.
He might.
I mean,
God forgives.
He's compassionate.
He's amazing.
He's compassionate, tenderhearted, forgiving. That's the kind of God he is. And like Peter says, sometimes when, I've said some things and done some things, and
please
I've needed
me.
People to say, hey, that's just not right, Tim.
Yeah.
You need to repent and turn
that's
your heart back
Peter
to
does.
God. Yeah.
He tells them, maybe if you would just repent.
Right.
For having such a thought in your heart. Now, that's pretty interesting because it's not actually something that he's done.
Right.
It's a thought
it's
in his heart.
It's the thought.
And then in Jesus, says it's not just the committing of adultery,
right.
it's the thought of adultery, And so he gets right to the heart of it, and he gets right into it. It's your heart that's the problem.
Seems like Peter did learn something being with Jesus, and he took it right to where Simon needed to hear it, and he pointed it out to him, and he said, what you need to do is change. You need to turn. Stop thinking that way. That word repent means to change, to do a 180, to turn, and to change the way you're thinking because your thinking is not right, and that thinking is coming from your heart because out of the heart flow the issues of life.
But then Peter makes a statement that I think sometimes I'm a little concerned about this. I know this is what he says,
yeah.
but he says, for I see that you're full of bitterness and you're a captive to sin.
Mm.
Now, I am sure that Peter is being given this word from the Holy Spirit. He's
right.
seeing something within Simon that's selfish, and for some reason, he's calling it bitterness, and he's making him a captive to this sin, whether
yeah.
it's a bitterness and maybe whatever that caused in Simon's heart. But sometimes when Christians, when we become judgmental, we have a tendency to do this. We see someone and we immediately find, oh, there's sin in your life. You're
yeah.
doing this or you're doing that. And we portray that upon them immediately. Maybe it has nothing at all to do with that.
Yeah.
But here, I'm thinking that the Holy Spirit must have helped Peter see this bitterness within Simon's heart. I don't know how to
reconcile it
with
yeah.
what happened, except that it was an insight that he was given.
It definitely seems like a word of knowledge.
Has to be.
From the Spirit, a word of, knowing that there was something else about him. But, I mean, if you kind of, I guess, piece it together, like we said, there must have been some stories going around, and Peter must have heard what this guy was like beforehand.
Yeah, obviously. He's in control with demon power
yeah.
somehow.
And so he's putting that together. And then the Holy Spirit drops this in his heart. He says, this guy, selfish. It's all about him. He
yeah.
wants to have that ability. He's not surrendered completely. He's still holding on to some of the things of his old life because he wants it to be about him. He's selfish. Bitterness, like we said, maybe because these guys come in town and they do these things, maybe he's bitter that he can't do them anymore or whatever. So I think all that combined, and like you said, a word from the Holy Spirit drops into Peter, and he challenges him to make it right before God.
Yeah, and You know, actually, there are so many people, and even when we talk about Christians that are still captive to sin, the pornography issue is a huge issue today, and people who are really captive to that particular sin, they just can't seem to get away from it. It's just so intrinsic to driving them and their desires, and they're actually captive to it. So I see that when he talks about being captive to sin, I'm sure his background, like you say, he was certainly captive to sin. Peter knew that. He says you're still captive. Even though maybe you're on your way to freedom, there's still something that's holding on to you. You got to change still.
Sin is powerful. It gets, it sinks its claws teeth into you.
Just and it doesn't let you go. And even when you get free, it comes right back in to grab you. So Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me." Now, that was a word of wisdom from him. That was smart, because here he's thinking this is going to work out. It's not working out.
Yeah, if I'm that guy, I don't know if my prayers are going to make it. So Simon, can or Peter, can pray you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I'll give you $20.
pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Wow.
So there's a brokenness in
that. Yeah, that's a nice statement.
I think there's some real repentance in there. He's like, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I don't want that to happen.
I don't want
to
it to happen.
And would you pray for me? And sometimes we need to do that. We need to call on friends, spiritual leadership, and say, would you pray for me so that I can get this stuff out of my heart, this bitterness and this captivity to sin. I want to be free. But I don't think I can do it on my own. Can you pray for me?
Yeah, because here there's an understanding, I think, like you said, that there is a captivity that he has. Sin has it has put its claws into him, and he doesn't want that anymore. He wants to be free. So this is a great statement of faith that he says here.
Exactly.
So I don't really want to go that way. I want to be free in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, so they testified to this great gospel, and they spread the word of the Lord. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the good news in many Samaritan villages.
How exciting is that?
Very exciting.
You know, here's this prejudice. Now it's broken, and Jesus is saving people that, you know, were once prejudiced, you know, or were once, you know, not looked at with kindness, but here they are received by God.
Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We just don't want you to be full of bitterness and be captive to sin. So make sure you do what Simon did and say, please pray and ask the Lord to forgive me so that none of these things happen to me. God bless you. Have a great day.